If your first interaction with the client is to get their requirements and set the brief, and then the second engagement is basically when you're delivering the product, this is going to cause some issues. Hello guys, and welcome to another episode of the Five Figure Freelance Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Scott Lancaster, and in this episode we're going to be covering the nightmare of client revisions. So we've all been there, guys, when a client just asks for a ton of revisions and it just seems never ending, and it's like, tweak this a pixel here, do this, do that, and it starts to become very, very annoying, and you start to dread every single email that you get from this client. Now, I can honestly say that I have had maybe one of those clients, or maybe two actually, in the past 7 years. And that is not a lot. That is actually extremely fortunate and lucky. But it's also a testament to the processes that I have in place to minimize the amount of revisions that clients ask for. And I'm going to share those tips with you in this very episode. So to dive right in, the most important thing that you need to do to minimize the amount of revisions that a client asks for is to set expectations. For example, if you go into a creative process and the client thinks that they can have unlimited revisions for as long as they want without any additional charge, this is going to cost you a lot of time and a lot of money in lost opportunities, because the client has no reason not to ask for revisions. They can ask for as many as they want for as long as they want, because you want to try and make them happy. Now, the alternative to that, because yes, we do want clients to be happy, but we need to use our expertise to guide them in a restricted period of time to help them get the result that they need within the time period that is logical and also relevant to the amount of time that we're putting into the project. For example, every single time a client asks for another revision and another revision, it takes an extra 30 minutes to an hour out of your day, and those quickly add up. So make sure that before you start a creative process, you tell your client that, yes, we are going to do revisions 110%, but we simply need to make sure that they understand that there are either one or two revision phases where they can have changes arranged. Anything more and they have to pay for them. Now, this can be quite a brave move for a lot of newbie freelancers and freelancers who are not quite as confident to kind of be as forthright with their clients. So this is what I do if I'm not really in a position to say something like, okay, you want to get one or two revisions and then that's it. And this method is really, really clever, because it basically does the exact same thing as limiting revisions, but it does it in a far friendlier and less direct way. And the way that we do this is we simply create milestones within the creative process. So for example, within the name development process within my agency, Clementine House Branding Agency, we set specific milestones throughout the process and get the client's agreement throughout the process to make sure that we're on the same page throughout. What this does is it creates a chain reaction of positive responses from the client to us to make sure that we're on the same page, and also gives them the reassurance that we understand what they want. So when we come to the end of the process, they've already said yes two or three times to other steps within the process, so the result is partly their responsibility as well. They've actually played a part in that particular result. And the fact that the client actually has ownership almost of the actual project and the end result, as long as the end result is not completely way off what the client has already confirmed, they're going to feel responsible for the end result. Therefore, they're going to actually lean towards it a lot more and feel more positively towards it, because they feel like they've contributed to this end result and its development. But if you look at the alternative and you just basically ask the client what they want in the beginning, then you try something and then you present it to them, they are not feeling as close and as part of that development. Therefore, it's less likely that they're going to actually feel warmly towards the end product, unless you literally hit the nail on the head first time. By having milestones within the process, if you get things wrong, you only have to go back to the last milestone where the client said yes. But if your first interaction with the client is to get their requirements and set the brief, and then the second engagement is basically when you're delivering the product, this is going to cause some issues, because if you don't get things right first time, you have to start all over again. This being in comparison to having a step-by-step process where if you fail at any point, you just go back to the previous step and refine things from there. And by the way, if you want my freelance finance worksheet, DM me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is thescottlancaster. And if you DM me the word money to my Instagram, which is thescottlancaster, I will send you my freelance financial organizer, which will basically allow you to effortlessly grow your wealth, build your business, and know exactly where your money is going and coming from. And this takes me on to my third step. You need to use your expertise when you're actually dealing with a client. For example, I had a client recently who said to me that the logo was not in the center of the profile image for the Facebook page. And I said, yes, 100%, mathematically, that logo is not dead in the center of the profile page for Facebook. But, and this is where my expertise comes in, I know that if I place that logo slightly higher than the center line, it's actually going to look more central, as opposed to if I put it mathematically in the center, it's going to actually look far further down on the profile image. And when I sent the client an image to actually showcase my expertise and say, listen, this is what you want, this is what I did, look at the difference, this is why I did it this way, and now they know that I'm doing things based on my expertise and not just what they want, so I have their best interest at heart. Last but not least, and this is one of the most important things you can ever learn as a freelancer, the client is always right, almost. Sometimes you have to speak to the client in a way where you agree with them, but you also guide them to other options which are actually better for them, because they don't know what they don't know. That's why they're hiring you. So for example, a client may say to me something along the lines of, I think this font is going to work perfectly for my logo. I want to use this font. Now, the way to approach this situation, if the font that they're choosing is absolutely terrible, should go something like this. Hey, Mr. Client, thank you so much for sharing that font with me. I really appreciate it. The font that you've chosen is certainly a good font. I appreciate you pointing that out to me, but I think that it may be a little bit too traditional, but let's try it and then we can compare them together. How does that sound? And when you do this, you're building trust with the client, because you're not just doing what they want, you're doing things thoughtfully. You're looking out for their best interest, because they don't know that a certain font is going to give a more traditional feel, and they don't know that another font is going to actually give a more modern feel. So you need to be specific with every single piece of advice that you give the client. Now, you definitely should not say to the client, hey, Mr. Client, that logo is absolutely shit and you should definitely not use it. What you should do is exactly what I say. That is never going to go down well. You need to understand how to deal with people and how to speak to people in the right way. And the way to do that is to merge your suggestion into their suggestion and then let them choose on their own. If they choose the worst font and you know for a fact that it's not going to give a modern feel, you can raise it to them. Just say, listen, I'm just the pirate on the shoulder. You're the captain of the ship. What I would say is most people would find this font as a little bit more traditional and this font as a little bit more modern. I think that if you're looking to go for a modern approach, this font would generally be better, but obviously you make the decision and I'll fully support you every step of the way. So what you're doing is you're giving them your guidance. So ultimately you're giving them the guidance, but you're letting them make the decision. You're letting them be the captain of the ship. You are just the pirate on the shoulder trying to guide them through rough waters. Guys, I feel like this was probably one of my favorite episodes. I'm really enjoying sharing some of the real-time experiences that I'm having with clients and some of the stories that I'm having. I might even do some nightmare client stories, which I think could go down really, really well. So let me think about some stories which I've had over the past decade of working as a freelancer and, you know, building my agency, and I'll share them with you. So make sure you subscribe, make sure you follow, and I will see you in the next episode, guys. Take care.